I greet you, brethren, in the name of the Lord, and I bring greetings from your brothers and friends and your children, the champions. God has been so good to us because in every situation, God has proved himself a loving God, God present over all over the time. I want, first of all, to thank God for our brother Lewis. He has just been in Uganda like less than a month ago, and he blessed our people so mightily. One of my champions came here, and we had a friend in their church, Joseph, who came some time back to Uganda. He said, I feel so led by God to go and visit this brother. So after the conference, he went and visited the brother. That's where he met Lou. And I wonder how quick it worked, because Dennis told him that I would not be surprised to see you in Uganda. Pooh! Next 2 months, he was already in Uganda. So he was a blessing to us, and I'm so glad to see him this morning. And in fact, we have been struggling to raise funds for the church London, and when he came, he contributed $1,000 for towards that purchase of the land. And we are so excited. Thank you so much, brother. God bless you. I'm so happy to see Kathy and Andrew, our longtime friend and our supporter. God bless you so much. I'm so happy to see my brother behind there, Brother Jack. Brother Stevenson, I'm so happy to see you and everybody around, and my sister behind there. I'm very happy to see all of you, Alex, and the rest. We are divinely positioned. I believe you don't regret where you are in America, and I feel so contented and satisfied from where I am, Lord, where God actually positioned me. I feel so good being in Uganda at this time, especially at this time when God is changing everything for better. I was there when everything was in a mess. There was a time when being in Uganda was a risk of life, and you could not tell whether you were going to live the next day. You could just find people dead, shot at night, and jump dead bodies every day. But we thank God for the changes that now taking place in Uganda, and Uganda is shouting for joy because Jesus has become the livers of life in our country. Thank you for praying for us, and thank you for loving us, and thank you for taking your time to come and visit us. And I'm very excited to know for sure that the team is coming next month. Thank you, Pastor Jim, for accepting coming back again, because there was a time we said he will never come back again to Uganda. Especially when he fell off the roof. That time I said, Lord, we need him back. We need him back. But when I saw all the socks around his necks, and I said, well, I don't think Lord is coming back. But right after a short time, he said, I'm coming. That was a big surprise. And even this time, we are very expectant. We know that God is going to do an incredible work with the team that is coming with. Alex is also coming again. That is wonderful. Everybody is excited. My wife says, let him come back. Because when Pastor Jim came to Uganda, the first, the second, and third time, he taught the married couples, and he emphasized the point that Jesus, when he was on the cross, he took all our burdens. So in the family, man take all the burdens, and the wives, they take the blessings. Sala like that. Everybody liked that. I mean, all the ladies in the country, they say, let him come back. Let him come back and kill our husbands. I came with a brief video here. It is just a brief of what we are doing, a little bit of what God is doing in Uganda, but not all the stuff. But you can see a little bit of what is there. Thank you. Oh, we can't get the volume there. The volume?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's okay. That is the new church we have, I mean, a new school we have just started. Some places where we go to get the kids, the new clinic, men's fellowship. I believe my brother preached in that fellowship too. That is now the children's home, right in the northern part of Uganda, went to preach the gospel. We still have our cows, and we are milking those cows, and our children, they get milk in their breakfast. So God is so good. A ministry towards the widows in our area. That is evangelism also. This is the doctor, our champion, who have just become a doctor and is working in our clinic. That is the food they always get on weekends. Not every day, that is the weekend. Thank God for water. Water is actually something good. Some of them, they're enjoying their swings. That is the school where I was born.
Wow.
School and the church. I'll tell you more about that. Those are already went through the, those are the old champions in high schools and other schools. They always come back and we take them around to see what they didn't leave behind. Now, I went to that place. You are going to see me trying to get find my way of entering the house. It was very hard, tug of war. And I went to go to bring only one kid from there. I ended up coming with four. Wow. Unfortunately, you can't hear the voice of my daughter, Olivia. She's a nurse and a teacher. And Brother Paul is a doctor. We started having Paul when he was 3 years.
Wow.
He's now a doctor. That's too big. I mean, I feel so blessed to see the results of our labor and what God is doing in our time. Now, that is our clinic building. It is now serving the champions and the communities. Almost six communities around. It's a wonderful place, very nice place. I think it's the best in the area. It was actually well built. I remember when Pastor Jim came and he found us when we were praying for getting that building. It was halfway built and the owner was selling it. But came back and they sent us all the money for the building.
Crazy.
Thank God for that. Olivia was just explaining what actually the different diseases that they always fight in that area. He was giving an invitation to whoever can come. The different type, I don't know those grades, I mean, and different kind of nonsense. This. Okay, we are back now to the new school started this year. It's a wonderful, wonderful, good school, and we thank God for that. Is Sarah. She was just explaining the different types of food we grow in our own lands, and in need of a tractor, because now we are using prisoners, and we don't want the way they are using them, because they are being used like animals. As pastors, we don't want that. We pay the money to the prisons, and they bring those prisoners and work. They can really work, but not as human. We don't like that, because sometimes we go back. We go back to preach in prison, and you find someone. Yeah, that guy. they are somewhere in a certain location when you are going up to the northern part of Uganda. So they are expecting everybody to give them a banana. So if you don't, they jump on you and continue to say, man.
Oh, wow.
But I'm here to thank you so much for your help. Thank you for adopting Uganda, and thank you for coming. And I believe that even this time, the people are coming. They are coming. We are with a great anointing, and much will be achieved in the kingdom of God. Thank you so much. Father, we want to thank you for your loving kindness and your tremendous mercy. Thank you for whatever you are doing for us, Father. Thank you for what you are doing in our time, in the kingdom. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us together for the cause of the advancement of the kingdom, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Even this time, Lord, I want to thank you for our time together here. And I thank you for the brief message that you have put on my heart. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you quicken this message in our hearts to know what you want us to know in our time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Ai mukama wange nze wendo woza kubi watonda gweno mukono gwo ndabe munye nyeno kubwatuka amanyi go galabika wona nenkuyimbira katonda wange oli mukulu oli mukulu zinza katonda mu moyo gwange nga mukulu nga mukulu bwe ndowooza katonde awayo omwana we okutufirira nemu okwebaza byonna bye yankolera yafa okuggyawo ebibi byange nenkuyimbira katonda wange oli mukulu oli mukulu sinza katonda mu moyo gwange oli mukulu oli mukulu Kristo bwali koma okuyita n'okututwala ewuwe ffenna tulisanyuka era ne tusinza nti oli mukulu gwatajulukuka nenkuyimbira katonda wange oli mukulu oli mukulu sinza katonda mu moyo gwange nga mukulu nga mukulu. I think you know that song because it was translated from your hymn book. So I feel so good, and it's one of my favorite songs. Well, if you don't mind, we can open in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. I got this message as time was coming closer to Easter days, and I was really rejoicing and thanking God for Easter. And I was getting ready for a big meal, because in Africa, what we mean by Easter mostly is a big meal on that day. We eat just the way you eat here every day. that is the time we really share and eat a big meal on Easter and Christmas and the first day. Those 3 days, whether you like it or not, you have to feed your people with a big, balanced diet. But anyway, I was rejoicing, and I thank God for dying for me on the cross. I'm on my way to heaven, and thank God for paying the price of my sins. And I was rejoicing that God has blessed my family, and He has saved all my kids, and He's saving many Ugandans, and He's blessing us with champions. And I was really excited for Easter. And all of a sudden, God spoke to me. He spoke to me when I was silent in my room. And He said, "Yes, Easter or the cross is for all. Not only me, but all people, including those who are already in and those who are outside." And when I continued to think much about this and to analyze what God was telling me, I realized that Easter was not just for me, but mostly for those who are not yet in, for those who are outside. God's heart and God's heart is not just in the church, is mostly outside the church. Because the Bible says that He leaves the 99 and He goes after that one which is lost. Because He came to seek and to save the lost. Let me explain a little bit about the cross. I think I told you some time back when I was here that the Old Testament, ever since the fall of man, all the books of Moses and Psalms and prophets were pointing of what was going to happen on the cross. Then, the four Gospels, that was the confirmation of the great promise of God when Jesus went on the cross. And then the book of Acts, all the way with all the epistles of the apostles, points us back to what happened on the cross. Therefore, brethren, if you remove the cross from the Bible, then the Bible becomes just like any other book. But what makes it unique and important for each and every individual is the cross. Therefore, the cross and an empty grave, that is the core of the Bible. Let me say that again. The cross and the empty tomb, that is the core of the Bible. Every believer must go in deep to know the events of the cross and also the empty tomb. Because when Jesus went on the cross, for us we know for sure that that was the great promise, where God promised that the seed of a woman will bruise the head of the serpent. And when He rose from the dead, the Bible confirms that He rose together with us, and He made us to sit in our places together with Him. Therefore, the cross and an empty tomb is the core of this book. And thank God for this book. Thank God for this book. So I was rejoicing, and I said, "Lord, thank You for the cross and an empty tomb." And God reminded me something very significant, very important. We all have prayer requests. I think every time, and even today, I think you have a prayer request. There is something you need from God. Maybe it might be concerning your health, your business, your family relationship, or anything else. There is something you say that, "God, I need this. I need You, Lord, to intervene and solve and meet my need." Yes, God is sufficient enough for all the needs of his people. Ever since Jesus died and rose from the dead, he's able to meet all our needs. But he also have his prayer request. The reason why I'm standing here today is to remind you about Jesus' request, his prayer request as well. And blessed is the man and the woman that responds to his prayer request, because the way we need him to reach and solve and meet our needs, the same way God wants us to meet his needs. You just find in the scripture we are going to read right now in Matthew chapter 9. Matthew, beginning from chapter 9, and I'm going to ask Brother Alex to read for me, because when I read English to you, with my English, you may not even understand a single word. But thank God for partners like my brother. Are you there? You can read for me, chapter 9, beginning from verse 36. If you don't mind, you can begin with 35. Thank you.
And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray you, therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest."
The last verse of that chapter, I consider and I term that as Jesus' prayer request. Bible said that he looked all around after preaching and healing many others, but he looked everywhere and he saw people. They were scattered, roaming around like a sheep without a shepherd. Brothers, the problem is not outside there. The problem is in the church. Let me say that again. The problem of what we hear outside, they are not the problem is not just outside there. The problem is in the church. Let me explain what I mean. God trusted so much the church, and ever since he has never changed his mind. He trusted the church. God listens to his children. God hears the prayers of his children. When you go back in the Old Testament, in 2 Chronicles, he says, "If my people who are called by my name," ever since from that time up to now, God is always waiting for his people to hear what he says, what they say. God never wanted to impose himself on people, though he's the owner of this world. The Bible says that the earth and everything thereof belongs to God. But on the other, on the other side, he said that God made heaven as his habitation, but he made this world for man. He gave it to us. In everything we want to be done here, God is waiting. That's why he said, he told his disciples that when you pray, say that let thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth. We are the people to ask God to intervene in our situation. It is the church that is responsible fully to what is going on in this world. And God has given us that privilege. He has given us that privilege to talk to him of what is going on in the world. And here he says that, see, the harvests are ready. The harvests are ready. God did his part and he did everything. And here he says that they are just scattered. They don't have the shepherd. The problems we hear outside there, people, they are tired. That's why they are trying this. They are trying this. They are trying this. Everybody is really tried and is tired. Government leaders, they are tired. Even the doctors, they are tired of chronic diseases they can't heal. In Africa, God has healed so many people from chronic diseases, including AIDS. But the doctors, they don't want to believe it. They don't want to believe that is done. They just zip their mouth. They don't say anything. But everybody is tired. Parents are tired. Even when the children grow up to mature stage, they are tired. They have tried everything. They have tried everything. But as I said, the cross and an empty tomb is the core of the Bible. They are looking for a shepherd. Even if they are looking in ignorance, they don't know what they are looking for, what they are yearning for. But the solution of life, the solution of mankind, the solution of our time is only Jesus.
Amen.
It's only Jesus. If I look unto those who are already saved and born again and look back to their history, life, including me, I don't think I would be alive by this time if it was not Jesus. No, 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 no. And I tried everything. I told you last time I was here that I went even far to try to kill a preacher. Someone who was trying to preach and introduce Christ to me. I was almost going to kill him. It was just by his prayer when he prayed for me into the kingdom. That's when everything changed for better, and I realized this is all what I've been looking for over the years. Brothers, all those terrorists, the Muslim countries, and all those rich people, they are looking for something and they will never get it anywhere else. Amen. Never get it anywhere else. But they will get it when Jesus intervened and they saved their lives. So he was trying to remind me, yes, you are rejoicing, you are rejoicing. Because you are already in heaven. I mean, you are already in Christ. You are already saved. You are born again. But listen, my son. Your brothers outside. Easter is just a reminder to the church that there is something to be done. And God is not pleasing for anyone to die in his sins. The Bible says that he's patient, he's enduring, he's waiting until everybody come to repentance so that he may redeem his soul from hell. I realized I have this example. It is an awful thing someone to grow up in this world without a father, without parents. That is one of the bad things in this world. But on the other hand, it is an awful thing someone to leave this world without Christ. I wish that one is not born. Someone to leave this world without Christ in his life, I think that is the most worst thing in life. That's why Jesus went on the cross. He died and he rose from the dead. Easter is a reminder to church to think about the people. There are three things that we can do in order to do mission or to reach our people, our brother. There are three things. Number one, we can pray. That is the major. We can pray. Number two, we can give. Number three, we can go. We can go. someone can do all the three, at least someone might can do two of them. You can give and go. But almost everybody in church can do at least once. Is to pray. Is to pray. He said that pray that the owner of the harvest send laborers to his harvest, because the harvests are ready, but the laborers are few. Have you ever thought that Jesus' heart, thank God for what he's doing within the church, but God's heart is outside there to the people who are hurting and the lost? Someone one time, he asked me and he said, why don't we see miracles regularly? Why don't we see miracles taking place? And I said, the miracles are for non-believers. So if you want to see miracles, the Bible says that miracles mostly is to show those who don't know God that there is God who can do impossible things. God who can solve, lowers the mountains and levels the valley, so that they may get that understanding that there is a mighty God, and their hearts try to come to him or to seek him. If you want to see miracle, you go where God's heart is. When our brother, he came to Uganda, he was a miracle. First of all, he himself a miracle. And the message he preached was a miracle. When Pastor Jim came, he was a miracle. I mean, sometimes people may not see the miracle, but I believe that every time we go out and where God's heart is, the lost and the hurting, there must be a miracle taking place. But it must take place because God is a miracle working God. Sometimes someone to have food on the table, that's a miracle. That might be a miracle. Sometimes one word spoken can be worthy than $1 million to some people. Sometimes someone can get healed from a sickness that could take thousands of dollars. God can do it all. God can do it all. Sometimes when we go out, God do it all. And he's waiting for the church. He said, pray. If God sends someone, one person can change a village. One person anointed and sent by God can change a town and a city. Some town, somebody can change that. I've seen that. I'm a witness of that. I was number one to get saved in my father's family, in my district, my county. I had never had anybody saved. That's why I was going to kill the preacher. But when God touched my life, I can now witness what God is doing right after that. I don't take any credit. But having a church where I was born and a Christian school, that is a very big miracle. To see more than now 85 people getting saved in that village, to me, that is a big miracle. Because we grew in total voodoo, total darkness. We didn't have God at all. We were worshiping and serving Satan in many ways. Total darkness. But God told me that a church is a small candle that is going to deliver all the darkness from that community and the communities around. That's why we went in a humble way and we started a small church, which is now expanding and expanding. And people, they're bringing their witchcraft and set them on fire and give their life to God. And the children, we have 135 children in class. This Easter, the past Easter, we had more than 200 children coming to church. And even those who goes to Catholic churches, because that area was dominated by Catholics. Now, instead of going with their children to their church, they send their children to us. I see what God is doing. He's changing the cycle. He's changing the cycle. He's changing people for better. The light is shining in darkness. People were tired of serving the devil. People were tired of being oppressed by Satan. People were tired. But now, because he saved one person, from that one person is changing the cycle. He's changing the cycle. One person sent by God can change the whole country. I remember it was 1962. Someone came from Texas somewhere, I don't know which area, by the name of David. In Uganda, we call him Dauda and his wife. That's when the powerful gospel that started to change the lives of Ugandans started. They preached for 1 month every day. But the wife was the evangelist, and the husband was the teacher, teaching righteousness. Every morning and every evening, they used to have the crusade. That's when Uganda embraced the living God that started to change their lives and our lives. And we thank God for Dauda, and most of all, we thank God who sent David, and we thank God for Texas. I never knew which part of Texas this guy came from. And up to now, I'm still trying to find out. But even if I don't find the place, thank God he came. He was sent by God. I believe when he came to Uganda, there are people who prayed, and God touched him. And there are people who gave for their stay and for their missions in Uganda. And he himself came with his wife in that dark continent, dark country. He never afraid of what was going on there. He came. You know, there are somebody who said one time to me, Pastor, and he said, is there animals in Uganda, wild animals, lions and leopards and snakes and mosquitoes? And he said, what if I die there? And I said, brother, what makes it important to die in America? I'd rather die on my father's work. When he sends me, he's going to take care of me. Even if it is an elevator to heaven, that's not a problem. That's not a problem. When God sends somebody, he's going to deal with everything. He's going to protect, he's going to guide, he's going to keep himself when God sends somebody. When God sends somebody and anoint him, he's going to do exploits in the kingdom. He's going to do exploits in the kingdom. There are many ways we can work with God. We can stand there and let God do his work. Reaching the orphans, I never knew that that was a big ministry. Not until when we went up in the northern part of Uganda, and I met these kids in the camps. Multitudes, many of them in different camps. And nobody was there for them. And I cried the whole night. And I said, Lord, I never knew that my country is in this situation, this state. I ask you to do something, Lord. And you know what? In the middle of the night, God spoke to me. And he said, you do what you can and leave the rest to me. That's when we started finding the strategies of getting these kids from the camps. And they bring them. Matter of fact, one of them is graduating in 2 months by the name of Dave, Dennis. Remember, Dennis was short. He's graduating as agricultural engineer. Just in 2 months, it is among the kids we brought from the camp, and he was kidnapped by the rebels. And they took him there in the bush. And they took him when they had forced him to kill his parents and some of his brothers. They gave him a gun and they put his finger on the trigger and they pushed his finger like that. This guy was so traumatized. And he lived there for 1.5 years. His work was to carry the chair of the rebel leader, Kony, Joseph Kony, everywhere they went in the bus for 1.5 years. But he got a chance and escaped. Took him up more than 2 weeks to get back to town. And when the government soldiers saw him, they thought they were ambushed. And they opened up fire. Boom! And the bullet went in his hand. And he stayed there. So he pleaded for mercy. Don't kill me. I'm running from there. I was kidnapped. I'm coming home. So they took him to the hospital. Removed the bullet. And when I went there, and I saw this young man, he was as if he had no shepherd. And I said, Lord, he's my son. I'm taking him home. And he came. It took us a long time, like 1.5 years, to clear up his mind. Because he was so much traumatized by killing his father. Sometimes at night, he used to wake up having these nightmares and say, Daddy, 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 don't kill me, don't kill me. And when you pray for him, we pray for him and comfort him and love him, coming back to his normal senses and ask him, what happened? He said, I saw Daddy with a sword coming to kill me and say, why did you kill me? And another time, he could be having his food on the plate, but you just see him let the plate fall down and he fall the other side. After that, you ask him, what happened? And he say, I saw somebody taking me to the unknown world. It took us 1.5 years, and he was a low learner. But when he was cleaned up, he turned up to be one of the best students I've ever had. And now he's soon graduating. I can't wait to see what God does in his life. Amen. Because he's an outstanding love of God.
Amen.
Many others, we have stories and stories of different kids that went through traumas, different type of situations. But God is an awesome God. God is an awesome God. I'm here to tell you, brothers, God is the father to the orphans and the husband to the widow. Those kids, when they start to pray, you can't believe they are young kids. Especially those who are in junior up to university. Those who are mature, they can really pray. And God always answers prayers like that. God answers prayer like that. God answers prayer like that. But you know what? He sent somebody. One person. And with these fellows, God is doing an incredible work. I can't believe what God is doing. I remember when we had only 100 kids. I said, Lord, no more kids. No more kids. I think I told you about this story. But he's still here. Let me share it to those who didn't hear me. One lady came with her daughter. The father had died like 3 years ago. And she said that, Pastor, this is your daughter. God told me to bring this kid to you, and you are the father. And I said, what? God? And she was an unbeliever. I said, okay, mom, we are going to let your kids have classes, join the classes, but not be listed among the champions, not until God speaks to me. She went back home. 4 days later, she died. I didn't want to hear from God anyhow. That was enough. I said, Lord, she is my daughter. She's my daughter. Because I realize it is an awful thing, someone to live in this world without a father, without parents. Awful thing. Awful thing. Here Jesus says, pray. When we pray and God sends someone, he can meet such people were in pain, people were suffering, people were hurting, orphans and widows everywhere. God can send one person and preach the gospel and change the whole community. The gospel must be taught and must be preached. And that is the assignment of the church. Go ye into the whole world and preach the gospel. And go and make disciples. Thank God for the response to Jesus' prayer request from this church. I believe Pastor Jim Cumming is making disciples. We don't take him outside in the crusade to preach like T.R. Osborne. We don't take him outside to preach like Ronald Bonke when he comes. But we just bring the married couples and we bring the pastors. And we put him on the radio. This time we want to put him on TV. We want people to hear the word of life. We want people to be grounded in Uganda. Thank God the gospel has been preached so mightily. Miracles in Uganda is not a surprise. No. We are not surprised to see someone getting the lame stand up and walk. We just thank God because the world has seen that. But we have seen that so many times in our country, everywhere the gospel is preached. But we need people who can disciple, people who can ground the believers in the word of God, people who can come with sound doctrine that will help people to know more about the love of God and to know God. I remember what Paul said, that I want to know him, the heights and depths. I want to know the power that raised him from the dead and his sufferings. I want to know that. That's what we need in Uganda. Therefore, the gospel must be taught in Uganda. And you are welcome, Pastor Jim. Welcome, Alex. And welcome, everybody who is coming. And welcome, brother. Thank you for praying and sending them to us. I believe their coming is not in vain. They are coming at the right time. And I believe the word of God will never go back to him in void. Amen. I believe the work will be done. We needed this divine visitation of today. But there are those, mostly we have to pray. When God does something to your life, answers your prayer request, always remember his prayer request. You have at least to do one of the three. You can even feel it. You can know. Yesterday we went to one of the businessmen here, and he said that he feels that he makes money to bless the kingdom of God. He knows that that is his calling. And every time you feel that conviction, you feel that compassionate, you feel that led by God, never hesitate to do it. Because that's what God is telling us as a church. For the work of the kingdom. For those who are lost. For those who are hurting outside there. And they never forget that when God calls you to go somewhere. I thank God when our brother, when he heard that call, he didn't hesitate. He went. And you can't believe what God did. Let me give you another example of a certain man from West Virginia by the name of Andy. Andy, one time he was praying and he said, "Lord, I'm tired. I'm tired, Lord, I'm tired. I'm tired of running away from you. Here I am, Lord. Send me anywhere, anytime, anyhow." He didn't know what he was talking about. He was touching the heart of God. He was touching the heart of the Savior. Pooh! All of a sudden in his room, he saw a big cross. And many kids were down under that cross. And the voice told him, "Go and find those kids in Uganda." He had never known, he didn't know where Uganda is. And it was so convicting to him, to such that he was going to fly anywhere in Uganda. But good enough, the pastor's wife knew somebody who was once in Uganda, and called her and he said, We have a problem here. Our brothers want to go, just to go. But do you know anybody in Uganda? That lady, she was once at Champion's home. Gave her my email, and he said, I'm coming next month. I said, that quick? He said, yeah, I'm coming. But he didn't have money. So when he talked to his pastor, they decided to raise funds for his air ticket. They raised exact amount. I mean, it was only $2 extra. But they raised the exact amount of air ticket. So he flew to Uganda. And I think you see me at the airport holding the paper of where his name was written. I don't know who is coming. And he didn't know whom he was going to meet. But when he saw his name, he said, I'm Andy, are you Joel? The guy came, long story short. He found us when we were planting grass in our soccer field. And we had to plant it professionally, one piece at a time, 100 meters. He worked with us tirelessly from morning to noon. And sometimes he didn't even eat lunch. He was working, and he worked for a whole week. Not only that, we had some kids admitted in the hospital. So he wanted to go with us, and when he saw that, we didn't have enough money because it was beyond our ability. He went outside and he called home and he said, can you help me with this? Can you help me with this? Anyway, they sent enough money to pay all the hospital bills. And 3 days later, they called him back and they said, is there anything we can do? Anything more we can do? They sent enough money to buy 455 pairs of shoes to the kids, three printing machines, portable printing machines, a weed eater, and repaired our van. And he did an incredible work. Yeah. This is somebody who heard the call and responded to the call, and God provided whatever he wanted, and it became a miracle. Amen. To our ministry. Amen. And he has been coming every the other year, and God is using him mightily. And when he came, he was just giving testimony, he could not preach, but now give him a pulpit. You can tell that God can send someone and anoint him for the purposes of the kingdom. So, I'm here just, brothers, humbly to remind you and to encourage you. When God sends you somewhere, the sign of someone sent, when he comes back, the one who goes there just with a burden, and come back, he just talk about the problems he finds that area. But someone with a call sent by God, when he comes back, he talks much of what God has done in that area. So going and coming back, that is the heartbeat of the church. Show me the church that is blessed beyond measure. There are people who goes and come back. There are people who consider this prayer request in their church always to pray without ceasing for the lost. I have an example of this Paul and Silas. Remember when they were sent? I'm running out of time, I know, I can feel it. When they were sent, Bible says after preaching the gospel and heal the sick and deliver out spirits and deliver people, they ended up in prison. And the Bible says, if you want to read there in Acts chapter 16 verse 25, the Bible says, in the middle of the night, despite of what they went through, the beatings and all the problems they went through, and all the prison where they are, the Bible says that they started praising God, and also they started praying. All of a sudden, God came down and intervened and broke all the chains and they were free, and all the doors were opened by the power of God that intervened. But listen to this. The Bible says that the keeper of the prison wanted to kill himself. And Paul shouted to him, "Don't kill yourself. We are here." That's the man who is called by God. When God meets your needs and solves your problems, think of those who are dying, those who are killing themselves. Brothers, we have children who are killing themselves with drugs. They are killing their in all sorts of evil. They are killing themselves almost every day. Let us pray.
Amen.
That God send someone to them.
Amen.
Let us pray that God, thank God for the military force, especially the American military force, that goes all around to eliminate the pride of the enemy, ISIS and terrorists. That is God. But in addition to that, let us also pray that God may send someone in their midst. One person in their midst can change the hearts of many terrorists, can change many of them when he goes with the anointing and being sent by God. And that is what God is looking for us. Pray so that the master of the harvest may send. Thank God for your country. I was trying to study about missions. I have never seen any country send missionaries outside like America. And I realized that this attack of the terrorists and any kind of other threat is to stop missionaries traveling and going outside, as your forefathers used to do. But I tell you what, the foundation is there. We are not given the spirit of fear, but love, bold and sound minding. Let us be bold enough. If God sends you to China, please go to China. When God compels you to give, there's a scripture which says that those who are giving, let them give. Those who are preaching, let them preach. Those who are teaching, let them teach. Because we have little time. And yet, there are many other sheep scattered, and they need to be brought in the flock to have one shepherd, Jesus Christ, who gave his life for us. No another prophet, no another religion. It is only Jesus who can do it all. In Ephesians, as I'm winding up, in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, the Bible says that it's the Lord who answers our prayer beyond and above of what we can ask and pray. When we pray, prayer in Uganda is our way of living. And we have seen the results of this prayer. God is the one doing it all. God is the one doing it all. No one should take a credit. Not even that one sent, because he's sent by God and is anointed by God and is used by God. Not even that one who gives his money, because he's the one God who provides money. Not even that one who pray, because he prays and talk to God. And the God do it all is waiting for the church. The church. The pastor talked about the lukewarm church. One of the ways how we can become lukewarm is just to be self-minded and ignore the prayer request of Jesus Christ. If we want to be hot in our time, let us always remember that the God's heart and God's mind is outside there. I give you an example in Uganda. Maybe my brother and those who have been in my country, they can agree with me. We have taxis which takes people to different destinations, and there is someone always outside call Kampala, Uganda. I mean, going this way, this way, this way, this way. He can call you all names when you are still outside. Good names to make sure that you enter. But when you enter, he doesn't mind about you so much. He minds about those who are still outside. Kampala, 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 come on, come on, come on. I think since Jesus is the driver, and we are the people to call them brothers, this is the acceptable year of the Lord. Jesus did it all. You don't have to suffer outside there. There is a Savior, there is a great shepherd coming. The heartbeat of the church is to call those who are not in to join us. Yeah. Right. One time that will come to an end and we shall rejoice. And the Bible says that Jesus will say, "Well done, my servant. Well done." God doesn't mind about the long time you stay in this world. He minds how you use that life, that opportunity. Jesus was here only 33 and a half years. The impact is everywhere. God is calling upon the church to be mindful of those who are outside. Let them come in. The Bible says that the one person, God saved the heavens, the angels in heaven, they rejoice and they celebrate with a party. Because someone has joined. Let us always celebrate. Thank God for miracles. Thank God for midnight. Thank God for other things. We rejoice. The church always rejoices with that. But very few people now rejoice when someone comes to the Lord. And that is the greatest miracle that God can do in our church, in our family, in our time, in our city. When the sinner repent and accept Christ and being discipled and walk with the Lord, that is the greatest miracle that God can do for me. I was 2 days saved, and they said that my God is sufficient for all the needs of his people. And the preacher said, "Those who have needs, lift up your hand. And my God is going to solve that problem." And I said, "If God can save my wife, the rest of the needs will come later." I raised up both of my hands. And the guy prayed a long, powerful prayer. Long story short, 4 days later, my wife gave her life to Christ. That was the first miracle that God performed in our family. And that has brought the changes, not only in my family, even my father's family. All my brothers, there is only one sister who is not saved. And all the extended families, more than 100 people I can count, because in Uganda we have extended families. So far God has already brought in the kingdom. Let us look for the great miracle that can occur is someone getting saved and come to the Lord. God can answer beyond and above of what you can say. You can pray for $100, people who are outside, and God expand your prayer and reach many others. You can pray for Uganda. What we are doing now, we are planning to build the world map under our prayer garden. Because the prayer garden was made in the form of the cross, we want the whole world underneath this prayer garden. And we shall always go and stand in one country and say, "Lord, German, raise up the men to reach the German people. Even among themselves there in German, lift up those who are anointed to preach the gospel." That is our plan. But as I wind up, I want to say that the heartbeat of Jesus Christ is with those who are hurting and those who are lost. If you want to see miracles, open miracles, and even miracles in your things, just be mindful of those and do at least one of the three. You pray, or you give, or you go. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much for Emmanuel. And I want to thank you so much for the privilege you have given us in our time. What a blessing. In the Old Testament, the anointing was just upon the prophets and kings. But Lord, you promised in our time that you are pouring down your spirit upon all flesh, that young men will see visions and prophesy. And even the old people who get dreams, Lord. Father, I pray, Lord, that in this fellowship, Lord, continue to speak to us individually and show us your way. Let us see where your heart is. Let us see those who are lost. We don't want them to go astray and to die in their sins, Lord. You left heaven for that purpose. Lord, we can leave even our homes for a while and reach them with the powerful gospel that can change their life, Father. I pray that you bless us with the anointing. Raise up men and women. Speak to us and show us what we can do. If in terms of giving, Lord, help us never to hesitate, Lord. Let us have that open hand. If it is to go, Father, give us the boldness. Give us the boldness, Lord, to go where you are directing us to go. And Lord, always help us, Father, when we are thankful for what you are doing. Holy Spirit, I ask you to remind us individually for your prayer request, to pray so that you may send rebellers in thy vineyard. Father, I pray for each and every individual here, Father. Some of us might be hurting, having problems and sicknesses, having difficulties, Lord, jobs and work. Father, I pray that, Lord, you come down for our rescue. Meet your people, because you are God who is sufficient for all the needs of thy people. I pray as I rebuke the enemy, I rebuke the satanic power, I command the access and the powers of evil to get away. I rebuke the sicknesses to die from the root. And I pray that the anointing and the power of God come down, Lord, for each and everyone's situation. Because you know how to handle our situations, Father. I commit each and every individual that as he leaves this place, Lord, sooner or later, let him witness that today we are blessed and we are visited and touched by God. Thank you for your divine touch. And thank you, Lord, for your presence. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.